What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Broadcasting live from the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Armstrong and Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
I miss when my kids were younger and St. Patrick's Day was a big deal and they'd wake up in the morning and, a leprechaun had snuck into our home and urinated green in the toilet and left a trail of glitter behind for some reason. I'm not exactly sure what went on there. But they loved it. It was really, really fun.
We had leprechaun traps, which is cruel and really brutal.
Yes, they'd always get away.
They would always get away. They would take the gold chocolate coins and get away, the clever little bastards.
We caught one once. He still works for us. I work it.
The green... Did you read about that UN official who was just prosecuted for slavery?
No.
Yeah, later on in the show or in the hour. We don't have time now, but yeah. But the green urine was a real Armstrong innovation. We did not do that at my house.
We heard it from some babysitter or whatever, but yeah, you got the glitter like in footprints somehow, and it's disgusting all the way around. But anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, I should keep moving, but me incontinence is bothering me. Maybe I'll just stop and relieve myself. Oh, boy. So this is one of the most fascinating things I've read in the last several years. It is shockingly from The Atlantic, which is just suffocatingly lefty these days. It was written by a fellow by the name of Yanni Applebaum, why Americans stopped moving houses and why that's a very big problem. Actually, Yanni might be a woman. I don't know. Probably is. But the subtitle of it is How Progressives Froze the American Dream. And I was surprised to see that on the cover, but I dove in. I'm going to hit you with parts of it. Jack, comment like as much as you like, obviously. So the lead is, the idea that people should be able to choose their own communities instead of being stuck where they are born is a distinctly American innovation. It is the foundation for the country's prosperity and democracy, and it just may be America's most profound contribution to the world.
I have been saying this for years.
You have.
California, the Midwest, all kinds of places I've lived was settled by people who thought they could get a better deal here.
No society has ever been as mobile as the United States once was. No society has even come close. In the 19th century, friends, the heyday of American mobility, roughly a third of all Americans changed addresses each year.
Wow.
A third each year. They quote a couple of commentators of the day, "The American is devoured with a passion for locomotion," said one French writer. "He cannot stay in one place." Americans moved far more often over longer distances and to greater advantage than did people in the lands from which they had come. They described how in Europe that you stayed on the land, you stayed in the town. People were very suspicious of outsiders. We'll get to that. But over the past 50 years, this engine of American opportunity has stopped working. Americans become less likely to move from one state to another, to move within a state, or even to switch residences within a city. In the 1960s, now remember it was about 1 in 3 in the 1800s. In the 1960s, about 1 out of every 5 Americans moved in any given year. Down from a 1 in 3 in the 19th century, but a frenetic rate nonetheless. So 1 in 5 in the 1960s. In 2023, only 1 in 13 Americans moved.
That's unbelievable.
The sharp decline in go ahead. Sorry.
Joe and I both moved a lot for our radio careers, and I don't think it's shocking to say the success of this project depended on it. Wouldn't have happened without the willingness to, like, move to that town, then to that town, to then that town for opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And probably it's a good time for a disclaimer. We both were also raised by people who sought their fortune in various ways and moved as necessary for a career. My dad was in the military for a while and then in the publishing industry, and we moved a fair amount until we finally settled in Chicagoland. So we can feel and appreciate that side of the argument. Not that it's an argument per se. Somebody who's lived, you know, hometown, mom and dad and the cousins are always around. You have giant Sunday dinners together
awesome.
And that sort of thing. Yeah, I get a tear in my eye thinking about how wonderful that would be. But like I've said many times, everything has a cost and a benefit. You just have to decide, you know, what's for you. Anyway, reading on from Applebaum's piece, the sharp decline in geographic mobility is the single most important social change in the past half century, although other shifts have attracted far more attention. In that same span, fewer Americans have started new businesses, and fewer Americans have switched jobs. From 1985 to 2014, the share of people who become entrepreneurs fell by half.
That is seriously troubling.
And then he gets into more Americans end up worse off than their parents. I think part of that is coming down from the high of the post-WW2 American dominance. That was just going to be hard to avoid. But then he gets into how church membership is down by a third since 1970, as is the share of Americans who socialize several times a week. Membership in any kind of group is down by half.
Well, you know,
birth rates keep falling.
One interesting aspect of the not being tied to your local church and not socializing seems like that would make you more mobile as opposed to less mobile. If you're, you know, socializing and have a social network, that would be hard to leave behind. But if you don't socialize, what the hell do you care? Go to the next town. They got a better job.
The other side of that coin is really interesting, and we were going to get to that in a bit, but I'll skip to it. And I can relate to this because Judy and I relocated, 4 years ago, something like that. And it makes you more likely to want to go out and meet people.
Oh, interesting.
Put up with the discomfort of going to a new church or joining a club or, you know, just for me, jumping on a tea time that had one opening and introducing myself and meeting people because you want to make connections. And indeed, that's what they found sociologically.
That's interesting.
It, you know, it's kind of counterintuitive, but it made people more sociable, the fact that we moved all the time. And then there's an interesting political aspect to this, and I don't want to get on a partisan thing because that's not what this about. This is about. I will just say that people who felt anger and frustration at their financial situation tended to vote more for Trump than Hillary, for instance. But the number of those people who lived within a 2-hour drive of where they grew up or had never even left their hometown was way more huge. It's a huge gap. The number of people who said, I'm unhappy with my financial life and my career, they were wildly disproportionately people who had not relocated to seek their fortune.
No, I don't want to make this partisan at all because I don't think it needs to be. But we have been saying on this show for years, you know, broadcasting out of California, people talking about how expensive it is to live in San Francisco. Well, then move someplace cheaper. That's what I always did. If I couldn't afford to live somewhere, I moved someplace cheaper. Rather than expect the government or somebody to come in and make it cheaper so you can stay. Why do other taxpayers owe you the ability to stay in a particular town? That's nuts.
Right, right. And just, you know, you live your life the way you see fit, and I will not judge you unless you come.
I will
harshly, tax money.
And I'll tell you to your face.
Yeah. I mean, we were very, very successful our first job together in Wichita, but we knew economically speaking we had topped out and needed to go, you know, seek our fortune elsewhere. But a lot of people do that. Anyway, I wanted to get to this part, and there's more on the general topic to come, and trust me, it's so interesting. You've heard the expression moving day, right? I mean, people throw it around a little bit. It's funny. It's a term in golf. It's like the midway point of a tournament. You got a chance to move up, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm familiar with the term in that way. How did I not know this? How did all of us not know this? The great holiday of America when it was so nomadic, was called Moving Day.
Never heard of it.
Observed by renters and landlords throughout the 19th century and well into the 20th with a giant game of musical houses. Moving Day, they write, was a festival of new hopes and new beginnings, of shattered dreams and shattered crockery. Quite as recognized today as Christmas or the 4th of July, wrote a Chicago newspaper in 1882.
As much as I read history, I've never come across this.
I know. It's crazy. It was primarily an urban thing, although many rural communities and suburbans kind of had their own sort. And it varied. It might be April 1st or October 1st, but May 1st was by far the most popular. Literally, everybody who was renting a home, and the vast majority of people rented, home ownership was way, way lower than it is right now. The vast majority of people would move on Moving Day every year, or almost every year. Nothing quite so astonished visitors from abroad as the spectacle of thousands upon thousands of people picking up and swapping homes in a single day. For months before Moving Day, Americans prepared for the occasion. Tenants gave notice to their landlords or received word of the new rent. Then followed a frenzied period of house hunting as people, generally women, scouted for a new place to live that would in some respect improve upon the old. Quote, they want more room, or they want as much room for less rent, or they want a better location, or they want some convenience not heretofore enjoyed, the Topeka Daily Capital summarized. These were months of general anticipation. Cities and towns were alive with excitement. So if you've ever seen one of those street scenes from back in the day where everybody's got, like, their junk piled on wagons, that was Moving Day.
And the point of putting that in the article, obviously, is to just point out that the cultural attitude about moving was so much different. And as we've said, every part of this country, people coming out west, starting in the very, very eastern part of the country in the colonies and spreading to, you know, when the Wild West was Ohio and Kentucky, and then going further and further for a better opportunity. And now, not to be too disparaging of various industries and people, because I understand, like Joe said, I fully understand why it'd be awesome to stay in your hometown where you grow up and have your kids go to the same school and, you know, all your family and friends. God, I would love that. But the idea that coal mining goes away and you're going to stay in the same dead town that's never going to come back is nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts.
In terms of the history of this country. Or, you know, working for General Motors in whatever town in Michigan or whatever. If something's gone away, then you got to move to a different town where the new industry is. That's what everybody has done forever in this country. And, yeah, pointing out that that's gone away. And now we're like Europe, where you do plan to stay in the town your family is from for generations. Which, again, I understand the appeal.
Sure, yeah. One charming anecdote from this, which I can't find, but I can paraphrase. They mentioned that in Europe, indeed, you stay in the same place, very insular, and that newcomers would simply cause a more subdivision of the goods and services and land available there. Hmm. So newcomers were like a bad thing. Whereas in America, it was such a constant that the idea of a stranger went from a threat to literally Americans would say, hello, stranger, you're not from around here, are you? And it was not a term of suspicion. It was a term of greeting.
That is really interesting. And I don't think good for the country.
Armstrong and Getty.
The very last thing anyone wants is to burden their family after passing.
That's why having a trust or a will is essential. It ensures your loved ones, your spouse, children, or anyone you care about clearly understands your wishes and doesn't have to deal with confusion, drama, or legal hassles while grieving.
Without a will, your assets could be distributed in ways you never intended. People you care about could be left out completely. Also, probate can be a long, complicated, expensive process, and it's avoidable if you have a simple trust in place.
A trust or a will sets a clear plan for how you want your estate handled. They are simple, affordable, and give you peace of mind. I have a simple revocable trust, and knowing my family won't have to go through probate brings real comfort.
TrustAndWill.com makes it easy. They're the leaders in creating personalized trusts and wills to protect your legacy and loved ones.
Do the right thing. Protect your family. Visit TrustAndWill.com today for total peace of mind. That's TrustAndWill.com.
We're entering some very uncertain times with everything that is happening overseas. We need to be on alert at home as well. You should have a Byrna on you at all times, especially one that is small enough to conceal wherever you go. Meet the new Compact Launcher. It's touted as the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. The same size as a smartphone, but it has all the firepower that you need to stop an attacker in their tracks without dealing with a mental or financial repercussion of using a real firearm. These are equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to stop somebody right in their tracks and incapacitate them for up to 40 minutes. The compact launcher is perfect for women who want protection but don't want to really carry a firearm. And if you're traveling this summer, Byrna is legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks and can be shipped directly to your door. Byrna is proudly American with every unit that is hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So visit Byrna.com today and find the right launcher for your family. That's Byrna.com.
Now open at Turtle Bay Museum, Discover Steampunk, an exhibition for all ages.
Featuring futuristic technology inspired by 19th century Victorian designs.
Steampunk reimagines steam-powered machinery and gadgets as modern inventions. Discover Steampunk is on display at Turtle Bay Museum by the Sundial Bridge in Reading.
And is produced by the Imagine Team, free for members or included with paid admission.
Discover this and much more at turtlebay.org.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest
every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1468.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Yeah, you're never gonna find someone.
So I've just been reading and reading about J.D. Vance's speeches, two speeches, in front of the EU, one about Europe needs to step up and quit acting like a bunch of fat, lazy babies, and the other one about free speech. And if you're not going to embrace democracy and freedom, why do we have an alliance to protect democracy and freedom? Twisting their arms on a couple of different things. And then the situation in Ukraine with Putin and then Trump and the things he said. And look, my grand unifying theory, people are going to be shouting at the radio, Thucydides or Cicero or some, he wrote a book about this 5,000 years ago, you dope. But it's as simple as this, and it reminds me of what I've always said about American policy, domestic policy, and that is that it veers from guardrail to guardrail, and you hit the sweet spot somewhere in between the guardrails, but you have no idea you're in the sweet spot, so you just keep going to the left, say, releasing criminals and saying, we've over-incarcerated, war on drugs, blah, 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 until your streets are just teeming with scumbags and junkies, and everybody's under threat, and society sucks, and all the Walgreens are closing, and the Targets, and you got to ask somebody to get your socks out from beyond lock and key, blah, blah, blah. Then we'll crack down like crazy and lock up people and blah, blah, blah. And good. International relations, yes?
I just said good.
International relations, geopolitics has a similar rhythm to it, an ebb and flow, in that the results of war and conquest lead to a desire for peace, trade, and prosperity. And peace, trade, and prosperity over the long term create the situation that calls for conquest and war, especially because the victors become so weak and comfortable in those who perceive that they've been getting the short end of the stick, be they China or Russia or North Korea or whatever, seize opportunities, they exploit them. The globe or regions explode into terrible wars. Do yourself a treat and read for half an hour about what's happening in Africa right now someday. Where it's absolutely wars of conquest and control and resource grabbing and all are fully the continent's on fire. Nobody talks about it. But so anyway, post-World War II, we built this order to protect freedom and democracy. We become fat and lazy. We've started to doubt the dynamics of democracy. Or in a place like Germany, they barely ever had them, honestly. They're so freaked out and guilt-ridden over the Nazi thing. They basically did what we told them to do. And the minute they took control. No, this is how we're going to run a democracy. In the German way, they got way off base and are now being torn asunder by conflict. And stability in Europe is about over. I don't think Ukraine's a blip. I think it might be another several years until the real storm hits, but I think prosperity has created the playing field for chaos.
Yeah.
And there's no avoiding it.
Won't get into it now, but there are some statistics that I came across somewhere after J.D. Vance's speech of just how little Europe has put in to their own defense over the past many years. We care about Europe being stable way more than they care about it being stable. Because they think we'll keep it stable.
Well, all right. And I've got the quotes around here somewhere. But going back to Barack Obama and Robert Gates in 2012 saying, hey, Euros, you've got to take an active role financially. You got to build up your military. You got to act like you're serious about this because we are not going to carry you. Get serious. And they said, yeah, we'll up our spending by 0.5%. Yeah, it'll be fine. And they do not pay heed. And now that the wolf is at their door, that they don't know what to do about it.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show. Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captopril, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
This summer, stack the deck in your favor with a night of music, laughter, and Broadway magic with the Shasta College summer musical comedy Guys and Dolls. Be enthralled by the talents of over 30 singers and actors as they bring this Tony Award-winning classic to life with unforgettable songs, dazzling dancing, and fast-paced fun the whole family will enjoy. Evening performances run July 18th through the 26th, with two matinees on July 20th and 27th, and a special ASL show on July 24th at the Shasta College Theater in Reading. Tickets are $20 for general admission, $15 for seniors, and just $5 for students. Reserve your seats now at shastacollege.edu/artsevents. Have some cool family fun this summer with the classic and affordable live orchestra musical Guys and Dolls. Get your tickets today. See you at the show.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit hunterroofing.org today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Front Lines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My ocean delay.
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I have some interesting sleep stats for you. Everybody sleeps or talks about sleep, it seems. Everybody does sleep. It does seem everybody talks about sleep. I am having I now officially called a crisis, a sleep crisis for the first time in my life. So I got to spend some time looking into figuring this out. I mean, it's a crisis. I've had periods in my life, like lots of parents, where I wasn't getting enough sleep. But that was just because I didn't have, you know, the opportunity to spend enough time in bed sleeping. It wasn't because I couldn't figure out how to sleep. Now I can get in bed and just, like last night, I went to bed at, I don't know, when it was, 9 o'clock. I laid there till at least 2 a.m. last time I looked at the clock.
No.
Completely awake the whole time.
Oh,
no idea. Had no caffeine from 10 a.m. I mean, I have no idea where this has come from. And it's just happened kind of out of nowhere. It's driving me nuts. It's a horrible feeling. And then, obviously, you got all the problems with being asleep. I'm looking at government statistics. This is from one of your national health organizations, something or other.
Before we get to that, have you dealt with the guilt you have for having staged bum fights for all those years?
Still staging bum fights. The money is great.
Shame.
And it's
shame.
It's easier than ever to find crazy violent bums. So.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's really the golden era of staging bum fights.
Wow.
I could go right outside the radio station right now and find two crazy angry people who'd be happy to fight each other for a couple of bucks.
He's not joking,
friends. I am not joking. Well, I'm joking that I am going to do that. I'm not joking that I could find two angry, violent people downstairs that would fight. Or maybe over in the sales room. I don't know. 40% of adults report falling asleep during the day without meaning to at least once a month. Do you fall asleep during the day at
Never.
Least once a month? 40% of Americans? I fall asleep driving way too often. Always have, really.
Oh, gee, money. That's not a minor story. Yeah, Katie's like, wait, what? I know, I've been hearing this for years.
You don't fall asleep driving?
Like, you just tried to slide that right by us.
You don't fall asleep driving?
No. I'm operating a vehicle.
Die that way.
Well, I don't want to. It's not like I think it's cool.
I know, Katie. I know.
We're on the radio and I don't know what to say. You just...
Well, 40% is a lot of Americans fall asleep during the day without meaning to at least once a month. Do you, Katie?
No. I actually
and it doesn't have to be driving at your desk or anything like that.
No, I simply can't do that, and I don't know.
Yeah, we're the same. That would be astonishing to me if that happened.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe this number, but it is. It's from the National Institute of Health. Not that I believe their statistics, but it's not. Most sleep statistics you hear, and then look for this. Almost all sleep statistics you hear about pillows and sleep and whatever, you look at the bottom and it's paid for by a mattress company or a pillow company or whatever. That's crap. But this is from the National Institutes of Health. That'd be a shocking number if 40% of adults fall asleep during the day unintentionally once a month. Yeah.
I mean, even when I had my desk job and I'd go and have a big lunch, and I was on the west side of the building. Gladys, I tell you, I remember it so well. And the office would get so warm with the afternoon sun shining on my office, and I'd have a full belly, and I'd close the door like I was on an important call, and just think, maybe I'll catch 10 minutes or so.
But that's on purpose.
That was entirely on purpose.
Yeah. I do that regularly in the car or sitting in a chair or wherever.
Yeah, I think falling asleep on accident is like narcolepsy, isn't it? You just kind of start nodding off.
So well, it's a sign for sure.
I sometimes fall asleep during hour 3 of our show. Sometimes, like, the second segment.
Wow, that was way out of line.
I'll tell you what it is before I give the percentage. We've been trying to do this for years, because if you give the percentage first, by the time you get to the what it was, nobody remembers the percentage.
Exactly.
This is the percentage of adults who had trouble falling asleep most days or every day in the last month. And that would be me. 14.5%, which is a pretty big chunk, having trouble falling asleep almost every day. I have my whole life, so I just think that's the way I'm built, pretty much. But not like lay there for hours, like has just hit me recently, for some reason. It increases, and this is where I thought it was particularly interesting, and this is from the CDC. The percentage of people who have trouble falling asleep goes up as your education goes down, as your family income goes down, and as you become more rural, which is surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Lower-income rural people have more sleep problems than hard-driving urbanites.
Yeah. That sounds
counterintuitive.
Yeah, I agree. But well, that's
you got the dark of the country night. You got the crickets a chirping. You just had, you got flapjacks. What's the John Denver song?
I don't know. What is the John Denver song?
You know, with the thank God I'm a country boy.
Oh,
got me my pipe. I got me old Phil. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle.
Sounds
How
pretty
can
good.
You not fall asleep with that lifestyle?
I wonder if they have more trouble falling asleep because they're not as busy throughout the day. Maybe like the slower lifestyle, they're not so go, go, go.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I have no idea what that is. But then there are the statistics on staying asleep, which is a whole other thing, too, which I know lots of people have. You fall asleep, but then you wake up at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning for some unknown reason, and you lay there for a while, which I hate. I just hate that feeling. It's just the worst. And then, you know, you keep looking at the clock, and it gets closer to when you got to get up, and you're still tired. It's just, I hate it. But breaking it down again, so education, income goes down, the likelihood that you're not going to be able to sleep goes up. A greater percentage of white adults had trouble staying asleep every day in the last month than Hispanic, Black, or Asian. Any idea why that is?
My white guilt keeps me up, I know.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Robin DiAngelo really talked some sense to me, and now I can't go to sleep at night knowing that my ancestors 175 years ago did bad stuff.
The crowd that has the least trouble, it would look like, from the statistics is urban, educated, Asian people. Almost nobody has trouble sleeping, getting to sleep, or staying asleep.
Wow.
Why that is, I have no idea.
Tiger moms, their heads hit the pillow and they're out!
Yeah. If you have any guess as to why that is with the... Because in my mind, you go up in income and education and people are like, go, go, drinking coffee, high pressure. But that's not doesn't fit in with the statistics.
Okay, here's your hillbilly elegy analysis.
Okay.
We are heavily weighted in semi-rural to rural America with the former manufacturing job on disability, drinking too much, taking drugs, smoking cigarettes crowd. And their lifestyles just aren't conducive to getting sleep. They're obese. They don't get enough exercise.
Is that the
statistic.
Is that the typical rural lifestyle at this point? That's not my experience, but is that overwhelm the statistics now?
Well, yeah, that's I chose my words carefully, as always. I think that is weighted those statistics in that direction. I don't know if it's typical or not, but there are a hell of a lot of people who do live like that.
If you have less than a high school diploma, 1 in 6... haven't been able to get to sleep most days in the last 30 days. So education going down, is that the stress of how do I make a living? Or do you think that's... Because we've always liked the statistic to make this point of... what is the statistic we like? 2 out of 3. That's my favorite. People who get divorced are more likely to smoke, or it's the other way around. People who smoke are more likely to get divorced. Smoking doesn't cause divorce, or vice versa. But there's a lifestyle that goes with smoking, generally. And
or
so that's
way
what
of
I'm wondering
at
about
life.
What I'm wondering about the less than a high school diploma. Are you more likely to like drink Red Bulls until 10 o'clock at night and then try to get to sleep, than if you have a college education? I don't know that.
Yeah, that's. I think, yeah, you've led us to the promised land, and well done, I say. I think if you looked at a list of, say, four or five or six, I don't study this stuff, I don't know, quote-unquote sleep-disruptive habits or activities, I think they would be more heavily on the lower-income end. But I don't know.
Scratchers? Do scratchers keep you awake? Trying to figure out if you match three numbers?
Don't know. Bondo on your car. I don't know.
Right. I don't know if you've got any idea why, as education goes down, sleep problems go up. Now, I'm a college graduate in a suburban area. I don't know. I shouldn't be having. I don't know what the problem. I do drink Red Bull all day long. No, I actually can't drink that stuff. I don't know how anybody does. My son and all his friends do. They love it.
Ugh.
I know, it's horrible. It's horrible. I limit him
a
lot.
It's disgusting,
but,
too, in my opinion.
It's horrible. But. Yeah. And I don't know. I might actually have to see a doctor about this at this point. It's become a crisis. It's a crisis in my life.
Wow.
And I dread, over the last several weeks, I dread going to bed, even though I'm exhausted. Just, oh, God, I can't just lay there. And then, of course, that adds to it. It's like when you're worried about, if you're worried about your blood pressure,
oh, right.
You get your blood pressure checked.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Somebody suggested the three M's, magnesium, melatonin, and masturbation.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Night after night?
To get and stay asleep.
Exercise, physical exercise, clearly.
I get exercise. I'm not doing anything different. That's what's crazy. No changes in my life. Just all of a sudden can't sleep at all. Like hardly
age,
at all.
Age, man. Age.
Wonder if the bang bangs are getting to you.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
The double meal eating, for those not familiar with the term.
Two different meals.
I don't sleep great when I eat like crap sometimes. So maybe, I don't know. Stop going to Wiener Schnitzel.
He does eat like a bear, having discovered an unlocked door to Lake Tahoe cabin.
What did I have for dinner last night? Let's just use like a random meal like last night.
This is science. That's
last night for dinner, quarter pounder with cheese and a McFlurry.
So there's nothing to Katie's theory whatsoever.
Clearly, I'm just making it up.
Oh, my God. Who eats like that?
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Are you facing an unexpected financial emergency? You need WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com could help you get up to $3,000 fast. WeFixMoney.com is free to use, available 24/7, and has an A rating with a Better Business Bureau. Go to the name you trust, WeFixMoney.com. If you need emergency cash up to $3,000 for bills or anything else, type WeFixMoney.com directly in your browser. That's WeFixMoney.com. WeFixMoney.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it. But not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. HIMS.com/JOY.
I love a day on the water with friends, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis sometimes holds me back. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy.
Teaching music is my passion, but my active psoriatic arthritis can limit me at times. Now I'm treating my joint symptoms with Skyrizi.
With Skyrizi, most people with plaque psoriasis saw 90% clearer skin at 4 months.
Or if you are an adult with active psoriatic arthritis, Skyrizi helps you move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
There's nothing like clearer skin.
There's nothing like better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North
state now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Join the heartbeat of our county every Monday at 6:35 a.m. on KCNR with the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief brings clear, local-focused updates and heartfelt discussions that unite our community. Got a story to share? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to drop a DM. The Town Hall Brief. Your community's voice for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
But anyway, speaking of Donald J., you know, I see him as like some of my favorite athletes through the years. Great strengths and great flaws. That's fine. That's enough said. But he gave an address at Alabama. Roll Tide, at their graduation the other day, in which he rolled out 10 thoughts about success that I found very, very interesting, and they explain a fair amount about Trump himself. First one, success can happen at a young age. He said, in America with drive and ambition, young people can do anything. And he cited some chapters of his own life, and I hear, yeah, his dad was rich and gave him money. Yeah, that's true. But he mentioned other American innovators like Steve Jobs, Walt Disney, the founders who started off in their 20s. Don't waste your youth, he said. Get after it. Love what you do, he says. I rarely see somebody that's successful that doesn't love what he or she does.
Yeah.
That's a mixed bag. Let me get through it, then we can discuss. He pointed to his father, Fred Trump, who died in 99 at the age of 93. He was a tough guy, tough as hell, actually. He worked 7 days a week, not because he had to, but because he enjoyed it. And Matthew Continetti comments, well, it's hard for his critics to understand. Donald Trump and his supporters enjoy politics. A sense of fun, improvisation, and risk imbues his rallies and campaigns. This is what the Sean Duffy and the reforming air traffic control thing reminded me of. Because instead of saying, well, we got to protect the unions and, you know, the head of the FBA, he's got his turf and, you know, we don't want to rush into this blah, 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 which has yielded a system that still used the technology of the 1990s, even though it's one of the most important things the government does. Think big. Trump said, it's just as hard to solve a small problem as a big problem. He finds the audacious more enticing than the incremental. He leans toward the wildest visions, winning the presidency despite no military or government experience, for example, or being reelected after impeachment, defeat, embarrassment, indictments, a criminal conviction, and two assassination attempts.
Oh, my God.
Or rewriting the rules of American government, foreign policy, or the global trading system, or turning the Gaza Strip into a luxury resort, or reopening Alcatraz prison. The list goes on. And some of it gets filed away with the under the heading, no. But some of it is worth considering. And it's kind of cool that someone would say it out loud. Yeah, we've been in these, like, post-WW2 trade agreements for 70 years. Why don't we blow them up? What would happen? He quotes the great Gary Player, South African pro golfer, 9 major championship winner. He was one of those guys who's fond of saying, it's funny, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, don't lose your momentum. I thought this was interesting. The word momentum is very important, Trump said. He brought up William Levitt, real estate developer who pioneered the post-WW2 move to the suburbs. In 1972, you remember Levitt towns? That was an expression. Anyway, Levitt sold his company to a large corporation. He was never able to recapture his earlier success. And years later, Trump continued to encounter Levitt at a party. Referring to the sale, Levitt told Trump, I shouldn't have done it. I lost my momentum. And the anecdote, writes Matthew Continetti, reveals why Trump operates at such high speeds. Trump has been likened to the honey badger who doesn't give up. His tenacity is related to a fear that slowing down means a loss of momentum and an end to his career. I love this. Be an outsider. Progress never comes from those satisfied with the failures of a broken system, Trump said. Wow. One more time. Progress never comes from those satisfied with the failures of a broken system. The contrast with his political antithesis, Barack Obama, is stark, writes Continetti. Obama says progress is achieved through bottom-up community action within institutions. For Trump, progress is the result of renegade individuals willing to break things. The Trump approach is more effective, and he goes into it a little bit. Trust your instincts. I have a quibble with this I won't get into. I'd like to rephrase it as trust your common sense. And Trump addressed the kids at Alabama, said, Trump used the word instinct as a synonym for common sense. Borders are not racist, he said. Speech is not violence. America is good, and terrorists are bad. Men can never become women. Police are not criminals, and criminals are not victims. Police can be criminals, but that's about as clear a credo as you can get.
Well, how did this not get more attention?
Because it probably makes so much sense, and the media hated it. Believe in the American dream. Last August, Trump declared that the American dream was dead. He pledged to bring it back. Mission accomplished. The American dream is real, he said to the Alabamans. It's there. It's right before you. Oh, two more things. Think positively, he said to the youngsters and their parents and friends. Don't consider yourself a victim, he said. Consider yourself a winner. And he recommended one of his favorite books, a classic, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. The teaching has universal application. Whether you're born rich or poor, black or white, male or female, in America, anyone can be a winner. And finally, be an original. And his list of American trailblazers went from Teddy Roosevelt to Doug MacArthur, George Patton, Amelia Earhart, Annie Oakley, Muhammad Ali. All men and women of action, daredevils, risk takers, outside personalities.
Alphonse Capone!
You're one of a kind, Trump told the graduates. Don't try to be someone else. Just be yourself. And finally, and most importantly, he concluded, never, ever give up.
Number 11, have a hot young wife.
Number 12, be like Hitler, because I'm the new Hitler. Unbelievable. So much good there for all the legitimate criticisms. Those are points worth considering and teaching your kids.
When Democrat presidents speak to Harvard with the usual crap and gets in leads every newscast, I didn't hear a word about Trump's speech to Alabama.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 40-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost you about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-770-0850. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance to buy $1 million of affordable term life for you. All you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-770-0850. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-770-0850. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life insurance, call 800-770-0850. 800-770-0850.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.